Today's message is titled Extraordinary Mothers. And I'm just going to read to you from Ephesians 6, 2-3. It says this, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And so I want to actually do a little reminder for everyone. Mother's Day is where we celebrate our moms. Even though you may, you know, be your moms yourself, are you not celebrating yourself? Okay, so all of us, we're celebrating our mothers. That's the point. I want to start with this. Mothers wield a significant authority and power over our lives. And one of the main reasons why this is so is because God has given mothers a very special position of honor in our lives. You know, our culture, especially these days, we try to make motherhood into something that is less than desirable. You know, especially out in the workforce, they think it's an inconvenience or it's a career stopper, as if motherhood is a dead-end job or something like that. But if you really think about it, of all the jobs, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an astronaut, CEO, whatever, no job comes close to raising up a little person into a godly man or godly woman. No job on earth compares to that. You know, today, let's consider motherhood a little bit. You know, all of us here in this room have one thing in common, and that is all of us have had a mother. We would not exist today if it wasn't for some young woman, and yes, our mothers used to be young, cried and pushed us out into this world. The Bible says, honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you. And that you may live long on the earth. In other words, so that you may be blessed. Mind you, this is one of the Ten Commandments. This is up there with, you know, love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Even with thou shalt not murder, covet, commit adultery, all of that. This thing called honoring our mothers or our parents is a serious business to God. We don't realize this, but honoring our parents is so connected to our well-being today, our blessing today. It's so true, you know, from my personal experience in ministry, the ability to honor your mother and father is a telltale sign of someone that is mature. The way in which we transition from a young person into adulthood is so very important. the Bible says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This leaving process is so important, but as we all know, it's not easy. You know, many people think that leaving home happens when you physically move out of the house. But that's not leaving, that's tearing. Many of us have torn relationships. I want to pull back a little bit so that we can see a bigger picture. You know, when we were children, we were completely dependent upon our parents. Especially our mothers. And that's because, you know, biologically we're connected to them, we're in their womb and all of that, right? We're helpless to feed and clothe ourselves, so we become connected. And therefore, our identity is actually interlocked with theirs. But somewhere around puberty, teenage years, we try to become autonomous, which is very normal. And the way we become autonomous is by pushing away that very person that was so connected to us. And that usually is our mom. So in other words, we rebel. We rebel in order to become a person. Now, when we grow beyond that, and this is usually in college or, you know, after you move out, we grow to appreciate our parents, you know, for all they've done, and we draw back and we become closer to them. Now, when that happens, you are really ready to leave home. That is a sign of maturity. But unfortunately, for some of us, even in our 30s, and even some of you maybe hitting in your 40s or whatever, are still rebelling like a teenager. And that's because we're frozen in time. We haven't grown up in our relationship with our parents. And this usually manifests with authority issues, you know, victim mentality, all these things. If you are having relational issues, whether it's dating, work, or marriage, chances are it's because you have not left home properly. The relationship was torn. It was abandoned. And we need to go back to that place. We need to forgive. We need to heal. We need to address our mother issues so that we can leave properly once again. And I'll talk about that a little later. So back to the point, motherhood is a gift from God. It's an honored position. And whether she's alive, passed on, or even estranged, we are commanded to honor, regardless of the job performance. You know, one of the most important life skill we have to learn and even teach our kids, for those that have children, is how to respond and relate to authority. We have to learn the difference between position and the person. The person can be a jerk, but you are to still honor that position and honor the authority that is already there. You know, around 15 years ago, there was a really famous mini-series about World War II called Band of Brothers. For some of you, you know, you're too young. You were probably watching Pokemon or something like that. But it was a really, really well-made series. In the beginning episode, there's a character named Captain Sobel. And it was played by this guy named David Schwimmer. He's a guy that, you know, I think it's Ross from Friends. Anyway, this Captain Sobel is just a horrible leader. He's just very insecure. And so basically Captain Sobel makes everyone's life in his company miserable, including his subordinate, which is Lieutenant Winters, who is a main character of the story. Well, as the miniseries goes on, these two characters end up parting ways. But later, at the end of the episodes, the last episode, they end up meeting. Now, Captain Sobel is still a captain. But Lieutenant Winters, because he saw, you know, action in the front lines, he got promoted really fast, quickly. And so he became a major. And these two guys happened to be passing each other. And Captain Sobel recognizes the lieutenant, now a major, but pretends that he didn't see him, and he tries to walk on without saluting the guy. And seeing what he did, the major turns around and calls the captain, and he says this. He says, "Captain Sobel, you salute the rank, not the person." And to which he turns around embarrassingly, renders him a full salute. That is what honoring position looks like. When you salute the rank and not the person, you are honoring the office of the institution that the government of the United States has instituted, not the person. And I'd like for us to hear this very carefully. In human life, God has appropriated a very special position to a very, very ordinary human being. They're called mothers. That's why this message is called Extraordinary Mothers. And this is beyond the, you know, kind of job she does. Whether she is a loving person, whether she's a nurturing person, it's beyond that. This position of motherhood is a gift from God. It's for us to honor. We're commanded as followers of Christ to honor our mothers. This is a requirement of our faith. It's a positional power that even Jesus recognized. You know, there are many times in Jesus' ministries when his own mom got in the way. Mary was a typical mom. She was worried, you know, if Jesus is eating right, if he's hanging out with the right crowd, all of that. So you see her peppered throughout the Gospels where she's almost nagging Jesus and even hindering his ministry. But even with all that, when Jesus is dying on the cross, at this point, he's lost, you know, so much blood, dehydrated, excruciating pain, all of that. He still remembers his mother hanging on the cross. You know, many church historians say that at this point, Joseph had passed away. Mary was a widow. So Jesus is being mindful of his widowed mom. Imagine the pain, the agony Jesus must have been in, and yet Jesus takes this crucial time to tend to his mother. He entrusts his mother to John's care. And so in John 19, 26 through 27, it says this, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciple John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Brothers and sisters, this is significant. What Jesus is demonstrating here is very important. This has practical implications in our lives. In our faith, honoring the position of mothers is a requirement. This brings pleasure to our God, and it is a positional command. Now, another reason we must honor our mothers is because of their unconditional love. You know, in the Bible, Paul says this to Timothy, "When I was disciplining you, I was like a nursing mother." He couldn't think of anything else that describes an unconditional, nurturing, loving relationship other than a nursing mother. Basically, Paul is saying the closest thing we can get to an unconditional love here on earth is a love of a mother. You know, my mom passed away a couple years ago. And once in a while, you know, memories and random thoughts of her just pop into my head. One of the memories is this. Not many people know that my mom actually had a missing pinky finger. When she was little, there was a farming accident, and she lost her finger. But insensitive as I was, I used to make fun of that. We used to play math games, and she would run out of fingers to count. And so, you know, we used to all laugh at her. But before you guys think I'm a jerk, my mom laughed along with us. It was an inside joke in our home. But, you know, right after my mom passed away, my dad was telling me the story. Like 2 months prior to her death, mom was prepping for the funeral. It's as if she knew she was, you know, going to pass away. So she gave him very clear instructions on what to do with her body after she died. She had picked out her clothes, her favorite blouse, dress, socks, and she had special instructions from my dad. She asked that that my dad position her hands like this so that it would cover her missing pinky finger. And when I heard that, it totally broke my heart. And then it occurred to me, never noticed it before, but every photo I have of her, she covers up her missing finger. Every time people offer to shake her hand, she would never shake their hand, but she would hug them instead. And she did that so they wouldn't feel her missing finger. You know, here I am, you know, for so many years, laughing about this missing finger, not realizing how much ridicule and pain she must have endured growing up. And through all this time, she didn't complain, didn't say a single word. She just laughed with us. And I know she wanted to bring happiness into our family. She embraced the laughter, even though it came at her own expense. That's mother's love. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. You know, but you know, sometimes this mother's love can look very different from what we expect. I want to give you another example of another mother's love. I'll never forget the scene. When we adopted our youngest daughter, Kara, we had literally 3 days to decide if we're going to adopt or not. Basically, someone approached us with the news that this lady was about to give birth, and she wanted to give the child up for adoption. In a nutshell, if we did not say yes, the baby would go to the state. From the day we heard of this news to the day we walked out of the hospital with the baby, took literally 3 days. It was just a straight-up miracle. So we met with the biological mom at the hospital right after she gave birth. She happened to be a Christian. And learning that I was a pastor with my own kids, she really, really wanted us to take the child. But it was it was very complicated on our end. There were just a lot of different things that needed to align for us to be able to adopt. And to make this story short, by the grace of God, all those things aligned. And so 2 days after this child is born, we say yes, and we're driving to, you know, Good Samaritan Hospital in L.A. We named her, you know, as we're driving. And we literally ran into the hospital, picked up Kara, filled out a couple papers, and just walked out. When we were at the hospital, as we're signing the papers, the nurse told us that the biological mom, who up to then refused to hold a child, finally held her for the first time before we got there because we had said yes. And as we're walking out of the baby, and I swear to you, it's like those, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Korean drama. It was just literally Korean drama. It was raining outside too. We're walking out with the baby, and I kind of look back to see. And I see the biological mom down the hall. She's still in her patient gown. Sorry, I'm very visual, so I'm seeing this picture right now. She's barely able to walk, holding the wall railing, covering her mouth with her hands, crying. And as we were driving back, my wife and I, we cried all the way back. But that, it's sacrificial love. That is mother's love. You know, no one knows what it's like to be your mother. Even the mothers in this room do not know what it's like to be your own mother. We haven't walked in their shoes. You know, we don't know the pain. We cannot judge. You know, I know Kara's biological mom's story, and it's incredibly sad. You know, whenever you hear about adoptions, our hearts naturally go to, you know, the child that's being put up for adoption. Our hearts naturally go out to even the parents that's adopting, right? But when it comes to the biological mom, she's always vilified. She's always judged. You know, how irresponsible of her to give up a baby like that. What kind of a mother would do something like that? You know, I can't go into her story, but all I can say is that she did the best she could. Given her life circumstance, given her mental state, emotional state, at that time, the most loving thing that she could do at that moment in time was entrust her child to a pastor's family. If that is sin, that is really up to God to render judgment, not mine. You know, today as we sit here, some of us have had amazing mothers, but there's some of us that didn't. You know, for whatever reason, you know, be it selfishness, be it circumstances, maybe even mental condition, chemical abuse. We had mothers that wounded us deeply. You know, some of them maybe left you from birth. Maybe you're an orphan. You know, maybe you came out of a foster care system. And I'm truly sorry for that. The pain is real, and we can't simply gloss over that reality. But to you, the Spirit is saying you need to forgive. And I want you to really be reminded of the command. If you notice, the command is honor your parents, not love your parents. It's interesting because God has no problem commanding, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. But when it comes to our parents, he just says honor them. And that's because God is perfect. He can be loved. We can put our trust in him. But our parents, our mothers, are not perfect. And the least we can do is just honor that position that God has given. And I truly believe, and I say this from experience, because my love toward my mom has changed over the years. I truly believe that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will give us love toward our mothers when we first choose to honor them. And when this happens, we will truly be blessed. And this blessing will affect every sphere of our relationships, be it our boss, our employees, even when we have our sons and daughters, husband and wife. But not just here and now, this blessing will flow into the future. It becomes our spiritual heritage. And so, lastly, I want to talk about the power of mother's prayer. You know, a while back in my prayer time, a thought popped into my head. And the thought was, I wonder what the biological mom said to Kara when she held her for the first time and last time. And God seemed to say that she prayed for her. She blessed her. You know, I believe that because she was a believer. And to that, I say amen. I say amen because There's nothing more powerful than a mother's prayer. And I'm really glad that Kara got that. You know, the closest thing to unconditional love here on earth is our mother's love. When you combine that unconditional love of mom with the power of the Holy Spirit, there is just this tangible efficacy. You know, in other words, when mothers pray, something always happens in the spiritual realm. You know, Paul recognizes this when he writes this. He's writing this to his protege, Pastor Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 to 5, it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. You know, Paul has been discipling Timothy all these years, but he doesn't take credit for that. He could have easily done that. He could have said, you know, I did all this for you, and I'm so glad you're listening to me. He could have done that, but he doesn't. He says, Timothy, I know you have sincere faith. I know you have integrity. I know where that comes from. That comes from your mom. That comes from your grandmother. Because I see it. I saw it in them and I see it in you. Paul is very clear on this. He understood and respected the spiritual heritage. You know, my brothers and sisters, who are especially parents, we cannot be confused about this. Our job as spiritual mothers and fathers does not end when you drop off your kids at Sunday school. The responsibility of our children's faith and the quality of their spiritual life actually falls on the parents, particularly mothers. And this is why a mother's prayer is so powerful. It can literally change circumstances. You know, there's so many examples in the Bible of this, but I'm just going to pull out one, and that's Hagar's story. If you know the story, Abraham and Sarah received a promise from God, and that promise was that Sarah would conceive a child. But after waiting years, Sarah took matters into her own hands because it wasn't happening fast enough. And so Abraham, she tells Abraham, her husband, to lie with her servant, Hagar. And so in theological language, Sarah thought she could force the covenant of God to make it happen by fleshly means. So Hagar gets pregnant, conceives a son named Ishmael. And you would think this would make Sarah happy, but Sarah becomes increasingly jealous of Hagar's fertility. And the kicker for Hagar is that Sarah almost immediately becomes pregnant too with Isaac. And if you know the story, once Isaac is born, they eventually kick out Hagar and Ishmael into the desert. And this is such a difficult portion of the Bible because, I mean, Abraham and Sarah, they're heroes in the Bible, but they do this despicable thing. This righteous man and woman of God have done such injustice before God. And if you think about it, Hagar is a true victim in all of this. She was used and discarded. Matter of fact, it's not even about letting them go, but they wanted Hagar and Ishmael to actually die in the desert because they just gave them a small provision of bread and water. And that's exactly what happened. They came to the desert, they ran out of bread and water, and Hagar was literally watching her only son slowly die in the desert. It's a horrible thing for a mother to witness. So she desperately lifts up a prayer in the desert. God, don't let this happen. Don't let me see this happen. As Ishmael begins to cry, and the Bible says that God heard their cry and sends an angel to Hagar. And this is what the angel says to Hagar. He says, "Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." And we need to understand this. The mother's prayer literally changed the destiny of a people group. God is saying, Abraham may have failed you, but I will make a covenant with you. I will make your son's lineage into a great nation. This is amazing. If anything, Hagar is a prototype for a single mother that was used. This is an example of God's faithfulness to anyone who cries out to God, especially a mother praying in tears. That is the power of mother's prayer. You know, I can't imagine where I would be if my mother hadn't prayed for me all those years. You know, she became a believer really late in her life, in her late 30s, and she just spiritually just took off from there. When she fasted, when she prayed, things happened. One of the things that happened was my dad became a believer because of her. Their marriage got saved, became missionaries. As a result of them, countless of marriages and lives were saved and transformed. And that's because of that one prayer. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I used to, you know, mess around a lot. I used to come home, you know, hungover and sleeping. And my mom used to pray for me in the mornings as I slept. She used to be a nurse, night shift. After she ended her night shift, she would go to morning prayer to pray, and then she would come home. And I remember she would lay her hands on me and pray. I used to pretend like I was sleeping, but I heard everything. You know, at that time, her life was miserable. Her marriage was falling apart. My dad back then wasn't a believer. They were struggling financially. Her kids, we were acting out. But despite all that, she prayed for us. And I am literally, really where I am today because of her prayer. And I want to encourage the mothers here today. Your prayers do matter. You know, there are some young moms here today as well. You may not realize this. You know, today you can control your children because they're tiny and cute and small, but there will come a time when you will no longer be able to control your kids. And then all you will have is prayer. But I say to you, build your prayer muscles now. So lastly, this is where I give you the ABCs of how to honor, you know, our mothers or parents. The truth is, we already know how to do it. All of us know how to honor people. You know, we know that it requires spending time with them, showing respect, involve them in your life, share your wealth, all those things. These are all things we already know. You know, I just want to remind you, spend time with them. You know, when they tell you and ask you for the umpteenth time that their smartphone isn't working, you know, help them out. You know, when their printer is down, help them out, you know, and do it without the rolling of the eyes. Do it without the, you know, yelling at them and, you know, disrespect and all of that. Do it with respect. Be respectful, you know. Yeah, sometimes their phone ringer volume is really loud and they can't control it because they can't find the buttons, you know. But just help them out. They're getting old. You know, preserve their dignity. You know, cover them as they grow old. Some of us still talk to our parents like we're teenagers. That ought not to be. Let's be respectful. Another way to be respectful is to involve them in your lives. Ask them for advice, even the stuff you already know. You don't have to take their advice. That's not the point. Just hear them out. You know, you're involving them in your life. You're saying that their opinions matter. You're communicating that they're still important. And above all things, and I think this is very important, give your mothers, especially this Mother's Day, the gift of affirmation. All mothers, universally, all mothers suffer from mother's guilt. It can be anything and everything, they will feel guilty. That's just how they're made. They'll feel guilty for not having enough breast milk. They'll feel guilty about putting on too much sunscreen when the child goes out. They feel guilty for leaving their children too early to go to work. It goes on and on. I have yet to see a mother that doesn't feel guilty one way or another. You know, men, we don't realize this, but we live in a very unfair society, especially if you're a woman. But especially if you're a mother, and we need to affirm them. Before my mom passed, I had a chance to thank her for all that she did. I try to do it in other times, but, you know, like any Asian mom, it's very dismissive of that, right? Never received it. This time was very different. She was lying on the hospital bed. She was unable to speak. She was barely able to breathe. There was no one else present in that room, and I whispered to her in Korean. I told her, "Mom, I know you have guilt about how you raised us, but I want you to know that you are a great mom. You did the best you could. I just want you to know that we will be okay. God has us now." I affirmed her. I said, "He answered your prayer. And if you're holding on because of us, you don't need to. I want you to go to God." And she did. She did a day later. You know, I know she heard every word because tears were forming in her eyes, and then her body was shaking. I'm very thankful to God for that moment. It was very special. My prayer for you today is that you don't wait until that moment. Do it while she's alive. Do it while she's still young. Affirm her. Let her know that she did a great job. This is how we honor moms. This is how you truly, truly honor God. Our relationship with our mothers have a direct connection to our worship, to our faith. It isn't just singing songs. It isn't just sitting here. It's actually connected to action. You know, it's not an accident that Paul, for 6 chapters, is expounding on the most profound theological things in the Bible, in Ephesians. And then at the end, he comes to this: honor your father and mother. Just, it seems very random. But how we treat our mothers is connected to our faith. This is how we worship God. And it is my sincerest desire that we worship God by honoring our mothers, our parents today. You know, I'm just going to end with this last story about my mom. The last 2 years of my mom's life, she was going through chemo. And she lived at a house that, you know, it's a parsonage that the church had. It looked like one of those country homes you would see in Mayberry or something. It had a porch, and she would, you know, sit out there. And right outside, there was a plumeria tree, and she used to, you know, she always commented that it smelled nice. And so we used to sit there just looking at it and talking about it. After she passed away, we were moving all her stuff out and gathering my dad's belongings so that, you know, he could live with us. And as we were, you know, about to drive out for the last time, I noticed that plumeria tree. And I want to give you a little background on plumeria trees if you don't know anything about it. I just found that out that, you know, that time. They're amazing trees because you can cut off a branch and just plop it onto any ground and it just grows. It's just a fascinating plant or tree. And every time I see that tree, it reminds me of my mom. So I was thinking as we're driving out of cutting off a section, you know, and taking it. And as I opened the door, my dad said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going to cut off a section so we can take it, you know?" He's like, "You can't do that. That's church property, right?" So I go, "Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm a pastor. I shouldn't be doing this stuff." So we take off and then didn't take it. Anyways, a week goes by, and I'm in the garage, you know, unpacking my dad's stuff and all of that, and my neighbor down the street pulls into my driveway, a guy I never talked to. He has no idea what's happening in my life, but he just gets out. He approaches me in the garage, and he says, "Hello," and he says, "You know, my name is so-and-so. I live down the street, and I have this beautiful tree. It's called a plumeria tree." And he says, "And if you would like, I would love to plant that for you." I'm like, "What the heck?" You know, he says, "Anywhere, I just want to plant it for you." I'm like, how does that happen, right? And I was just floored by that. And a month later, he did actually come. I mean, he's an old guy, but he was sweating and he was just, you know, he brought a shovel and he did it himself and he just planted it. And all I can say is God is amazing. You know, they say when you lose a parent, you become disoriented. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt very disoriented. I felt like, you know, like when you're driving and you got your navigation on and then all of a sudden loses your GPS and then you forget, you know, you're glitching and you don't know where the heck you are. That's exactly how I felt. It's like I lost, like, it's like I lost like a major landmark in my life. And I think that's why I wanted to bring that tree with me. You know, but God brought it to me. God's the one that brought it to me. And he wanted me to know that he's the one that did it. And that's what God is saying to all of us here today. You know, please hear me well. You know, the Hawaiians, they make, you know, leis out of this plumeria tree, the flowers that's that blooms. And as you know, and I don't know if you're aware, but as they put it on you, they say aloha, which can mean hello, and it could also mean goodbye. You know, some of us in this room, we have unfinished business with our mothers, with our parents. Some of us need to say a proper goodbye and end things well. Some of us need to say a proper hello as an adult. Approach them as an adult. You're no longer a child. You know, I don't know your story, but God wants to build a nation out of us, out of all of us. You know, you may be like Hagar. You know, we didn't get a good start, but God wants to build a nation out of you. We need to cry out. We need to pray. You know, I just want to remind you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, handcrafted by the Creator. And may we honor those that gave us life. So with that said, I'd like to invite you to just stand at this time. And if we could just close our eyes for a moment. I want to talk to the young college students here. Especially if you are the last one out of your house. This is a very difficult time for your parents. You need to pray for them. You need to intercede for them. You need to be a light for them. You know, none of us had perfect moms or dads. And we need to intercede. We need to pray for them. We need to be a light. You know, I'm really thankful that you guys took that time to pray, especially for parents that or relatives that do not know God. You know, all of that. Can we go before God right now? If forgiveness is due, forgive. The only person that's hurting if you don't forgive is yourself. You need to let it go. And bless our parents. Bless your moms. As the praise team covers you with worship, can we just go before God and pray? And talk to him.